Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Thanks for joining me. Spotlight on the figure of Father Stanisław Popczynski, due to be beatified this Sunday. Let's begin by hearing something about him.
He wanted to promote devotion to the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary, loved about Mary, her sinlessness, her purity, her immaculate nature. And this for him was a great example for the Polish people at the time.
He is Polish-born Father Stanisław Popczynski, the founder of the Polish Congregation of Marian Fathers, due to be beatified at Lichen, the second largest Marian shrine in Poland, on Sunday 16th of September. A celebration which will be presided over by the Cardinal Secretary of State, Tarcisio Bertone, who will be representing Pope Benedict XVI on this solemn occasion. And the person speaking is the General Counselor of this congregation, Father Joseph Roche. A congregation, this, founded over 300 years ago in Poland, where at the time, like everywhere else in the world, Marian devotion was already especially significant, but where the debate surrounding the Immaculate Conception was still going strong. The dogma relating to it was only proclaimed in the 19th century by Pope Pius IX. Yet, already in the 17th century, Father Popczynski was a major advocate of Mary's sinlessness from the first moment of her existence. At the time, Poland was a great kingdom, which encompassed present-day Lithuania. A kingdom where there were plenty of problematic issues at stake, as my colleague Emma McCarthy found out when she spoke to Father Roche earlier in the week.
Wars, there were plagues, there was all kinds of things going on at that time. There was a lot of drunkenness, and he always would cry out, "May Mary's Immaculate Conception be our refuge and our protection." So for him, this was a real way of focusing on where we need to go to find the Lord. He also wanted a community that would help diocesan clergy, because he realized that the work of the diocesan clergy was very difficult, to try to live and work alone and to continue to maintain their prayer life alone. So he wanted a community that would be able to help them, and especially work in the country, work among the poor people, the peasants, the simple folk, who wouldn't necessarily receive much attention. That was something that was very important for him as well. He had grown up in the country, in a poor village. He had actually, because of when he was young and he was studying, almost became homeless at one point, and so he really had a real love for the poor and the downtrodden. And then he had a very interesting experience. He actually had some mystical experiences with the souls in purgatory, so he realized it was very important to pray for the dying and to pray for the souls in purgatory. As I mentioned, there were many wars and plagues and people just dying unexpectedly at that time with very little preparation, and so he realized it was very important to pray for them, because the souls in purgatory can be forgotten. And so that was another one of the charisms that he asked us as a community to remember.
You spoke about Poland at the time of Father Popczynski being torn apart by wars, massive problems with abuse of drink, alcoholism, plagues. Doesn't sound a hell of a lot different to Western society today.
Absolutely. There's so many things that he can say to our society today. He tried to encourage people to not overindulge in drink, which is interesting. I visited Poland twice this year, and it's still a great difficulty there, as it is in many Western countries. And for the Marians, strictly asked us to please do not drink the hard liquor like the vodka. And so even to this day, that's something in our rule to kind of be careful of smoking and drinking, because that was something that he realized can lead to other things. And so he realized that the world, the nobles, there was a lot of class structures and a lot of difficulties between class peoples at that time. He had open eyes. I mean, he wasn't naive. He realized the challenges that were facing society, and they're very similar to what we're facing today. And so he realized people need to strive for holiness of life. He was writing a thing for the spirituality of the laity. He was really ahead of his time in that way. He wrote, "The mystical temple of God, that were all temples of the Holy Spirit, And he used the analogy of the temple and all the things you would find in a temple, an altar, and candles and different things as a way to inspire us to recognize who we are and our great dignity as children of God, and to not just throw it away as we can when we fall into sin.
This is a charism inspired by the founder, which of course is a charism that's brought on by the Marian Fathers today. Working in the society, particularly looking at young people in society, is this a message that you try also to get across to young people today who are abusing themselves quite often by drugs, by abusive alcoholism, by explicit sexual behavior?
Yes, very much so. In our large Marian shrine in Poland, where the beatification is going to take place, there is a center for people who are addicted to alcohol to try to help them in that capacity. And a lot of our men in different countries, in the United States and in Brazil, Argentina, Poland, and some other countries in Europe, we do work with young people, especially in parishes, with youth groups. In the United States, some of our men work at the Franciscan University of Steubenville. And it's just so common for young people nowadays to abuse themselves in different ways and to not recognize their great dignity. And so we do try to preach to young people, to give retreats, to talk with them, to work with youth groups, to try to impress upon them the great vocation that they have from God and what God is calling them to. And so our founder now is becoming a wonderful example. He's becoming better known. It's funny, in the United States, people will say, we're praying to this Polish man. We don't know how to pronounce his name, but he's a good intercessor, so we're praying to him. And he had a particular reputation in Poland. People would go and pray at his tomb, and people who were terribly addicted to alcohol would be able to break this sometimes very, very quickly through his intercession. So he has a reputation to be a wonderful intercessor for that particular thing.
How long has it taken the process of for his beatification?
Right after his death in 1701, the community went into a crisis situation almost immediately. One of the members decided that they should start living in parishes and working that way, so the community became dispersed and we almost died from the very beginning. And then one of our members in the mid-1700s said, we have to work on the cause of our founder because we won't be blessed by the Lord until we recognize the holiness of this man. So in the 17th century, there was a big push. And as a matter of fact, even the Polish parliament sent words to Rome how throughout Poland this man was recognized as a very holy man. But then there was a political situation where Poland actually disappeared from the map, and it just became very difficult under different governments to gather papers and to work on this particular process because people were just trying to survive. And then there were persecutions of religious communities in the 1800s in that part of the world by the Tsarist government, whereby we were reduced to one member at the beginning of the 20th century. They were not allowing new members to join communities, and they were just consolidating and trying to get people to die off because we were the first men's community founded in Poland. Most communities that are working in Poland were founded in other countries, in other Western countries. And so if they had a trouble in one particular part of the world, well, they would still have people elsewhere. Well, we had been in Portugal, but Portugal threw out religious communities at one point. We'd been in Rome. Napoleon threw us out of Rome. And so then we were reduced to just those foundations in Eastern Europe, and they were trying to get rid of all of them. So we were down to one member at the beginning of the 20th century, and Blessed George Matulevich, a Lithuanian priest, was able to bring us back to life, and now we're over 500 worldwide. So those were just some of the things that kind of kept us from bringing this forward. So then it was finally in the 1950s that the heroic virtues were declared, and then became a venerable servant of God, and it was only very recently that the miracle was finally declared by the Holy Father, so it's been a long process.
Religious mail orders dedicated to Our Lady are not that common. Mm-hmm. What really sets the Marian Fathers apart?
Well, I think, first of all, the Marians of the Immaculate Conception is our name. The devotion not only to Mary, because there are other communities devoted to Mary, Marists and Marianists, but particularly our devotion to the Immaculate Conception, I think, is very important for us. Devotion to the Immaculate Conception is something that's been debated over the centuries in the Church, but it is something that is so important, I think, for all people, not just for people who are devoted to Our Lady, because I think it gives all people hope that God has a plan for each one of us, that He wants all of us to grow holy. He wants all of us to become perfected. He wants all of us to flee from sin and to search for sanctity. And people nowadays can say, well, that doesn't seem to be for me because I'm so far from that. But It's within our reach. It's possible. And I think that's the message that I think is so important for us to try to proclaim to the world, that God wants to bring us all safely home to the house of the Father in heaven. The souls in purgatory, those of us struggling here on earth, there's room for us all. There's a place for us all. There's hope for us all. And that's I think it's a message of God's mercy. Another thing that's very important for our community that came in the 20th century is the devotion to the Divine Mercy. One of our priests actually was able to bring that message out of Lithuania at that time, Poland, Lithuania, that were sort of two countries, brought it to the United States, and those messages began to spread because they couldn't be spread in Poland at the time because of the communist government. And so that was sort of a new charism that the Lord had given us. And so we've sort of debated, I mean, how does that fit in with our charism of the Immaculate Conception? But Mary is the Mother of Mercy, and God was so merciful to give Mary this free gift, undeserved, you know, before she was born, while she was in her mother's womb, to be completely conceived free from original sin in light of what would be coming, in light of the birth of Jesus, in light of Jesus' death on the cross. And so this was an example of God's merciful designs toward her, and it's a message for all the world that God wants to be merciful to us all, wants to save us all. So we see the two things, the Immaculate Conception and the Divine Mercy, really fitting together very nicely.
Thanks and congratulations go there to the General Counselor of this Congregation of Marian Fathers, Father Joseph Roche, speaking there to Emma McCarthy.
Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.